This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
As Father, we just pray that as we just spend some more time tonight in your presence, Lord, as we listen to the word, that you just open up our hearts and open up our ears. And Father, for the truth that you want to reveal in this place tonight, Lord, we pray for your abundant joy and love and peace just to wash over everyone tonight. Holy Spirit, just come and move in this place as you did this morning, Lord. Just move tonight again in this place. Just move. Father, we love you and we want to draw near to you, Lord Jesus. We are standing here in this place and saying, we are here, Lord. We are ready. Call us, Father. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can have your seats. Hello, 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 hi, hello, I just want to have some water quick. All right, so it's my privilege and honor to be speaking to you guys tonight. We recently came back from Malawi, and we can't wait to share all those testimonies. But this is something that I've actually, tonight what I'm going to share about, is just something that's been intriguing me and chewing at me like for a long time. And I'm just fascinated by how it works. Is it maybe possible? I'm just going to turn one of these monitors to myself. It sounds like I'm standing at the back there. Okay, good. So tonight I want to share, Brandon, can I have some more monitor? Thank you. A little bit. So tonight I want to share something after reading Acts 9. Acts 9 is, I'm busy reading Acts, but I'm kind of stuck in Acts because I want to read everything in it and like absorb everything in it about the Acts church, how they did church, how it started. And I'm just so fascinated by how radical those guys were back then. And after reading Acts, I'm in Acts 9 now, and I was really challenged and intrigued by the fact that when God calls and we answer, amazing stuff happens. So I want to start off tonight by reading Acts 9, verse 1 to 9. Just want to get my big Bible open. And it will be up there. Okay, Acts 9, verse 1 to 9. And this is the part where, for those of you that don't know, this is the part where Saul, or Paul as we know him, gets converted, which is like a massive thing for us all sitting here. It kind of changed the way church is today. So this is where I'm going to start, Acts 9, verse 1. So then Saul's still breathing. Just get some light. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were on the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Is it hard for you to kick against the goats?" A goat is a little stick thingy that they spur oxen on. So he, trembling and astonished, said to the Lord, "What do you want me to do?" Then the Lord said to him, "Arise, and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing nothing, seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither ate or drank. So, the first significant part for me is obviously, here we've got this guy, Paul, I'm going to refer to him as Paul, but he was Saul back then. So, Saul of Tarsus. But Paul is on a mission. He's like on a hectic mission to purge Israel from everybody who is preaching false religion. So this guy meant business. I mean, he was opening people's doors and dragging men and women off to jail, putting them in prison. He was a merciless persecutor of the early church, and he was determined to capture and arrest the disciples. That was his mission. And the thing is, he earnestly believed this to be the right thing to do. But he has an encounter with God, as we read now, on the road to Damascus. And he has an encounter with God, and this really started the process, the catalyst of the process in his life, which at the end of the day flipped him around 180 degrees. We'll get to that. But eventually would change the world. It would eventually, that encounter that he had there eventually changed the world. So going on to this, to the next part, the second significant part of Acts 9, where there's a disciple called Ananias. I asked Christopher if that's the right way to pronounce it in English. If you differ with me, I think you're wrong. It's Ananias. Ananias, I'm going to call him that, had an encounter with God as well. He had an encounter with God in a vision. So we stopped at verse 9. Now verse 10 to 19 carries on. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise, and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he is praying. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, so he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man. How much harm has he done to your saints in Jerusalem? And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hand on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus appeared to you on the road as you came. He has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once and arose and was baptized. So there's a lot of stuff that happened in that little verse over there. For me, it's the interesting thing is, and I quickly want to make this maybe like, I want to tickle your thought process. Has there ever been a time in your life when you, if you think back now, you were faced with a decision a few years back? If you made that decision differently, would it affect your life completely differently? I'm sure we've all had that encounter. If you made a different decision, that would have, if you look back now, would have like changed the whole trajectory of your life. Have you ever had that? Has anybody had that? I know I have one. I had one. I see a few hands there. So both of these guys, they came to a place where they had to make a decision, which we all know changed the future of the church. It changed the world. There are quite a few things we can learn from these guys' encounters. The obvious being their obedience to God was the catalyst of this whole story. So I put some points together for us just to kind of make us understand better and the significance of answering, to make us understand better the significance of when God calls and we answer, how that actually can change our lives. So the first point I named, obedience equals transformed or transformation. So we've got this guy, Paul, and as we read in verse 6, he trembled and he was astonished. He knew he was dealing with a power greater than he had ever faced, and asked, Lord, what do you want me to do? See, Jesus gave him the command to go in the city, and he did. So he obeyed that command. Ananias, on the other hand, heard from the Lord in a vision. The Lord called him, and he said, Ananias' response was, here I am, Lord. And after God spoke to him, he left to meet Saul. So the transformation here was probably more obvious for Saul than it was for Ananias. I mean, Saul, he saw this light. He got blind. He heard this voice. When Ananias came to him, like something like scales fell off his eyes, and he received his sight again. So there's a lot of stuff that happened there. That's like hectic transformation right there. For Ananias, if you think deeper, just being part of that process, just being part of this miracle, that surely had to change his spirit. That surely had to strengthen his spirit. So the transformation for me there was probably more spiritual. But for Saul or Paul, it was more physical. Now, I want us to think again, when we get called and we don't answer, we don't know the effects. Like that choice you were faced with when you thought back many years ago, you would never know the effects of that choice. If you only start thinking about it now, you can only think. But back then, I mean, that's the choice you made. So if I call, if we get called and we don't answer, what do we actually miss? Do we actually miss something? Like, say I tell Braden, or I call Braden, I'm a voice, and I say, Braden, look under your chair, there's a chocolate. He's probably going to say, yo, what's this guy on about now? So he's leaving it. So Braden, look under your chair. What is there? It's a chocolate. Wow. So that's your reward for playing so amazingly beautiful this morning on the lead guitar. Thank you, Braden. So if Braden ignored me and he didn't look under his chair, he would have missed that opportunity. But he didn't ignore me. He obeyed my command, looked under his chair, and his future was changed. Well, at least his evening. You better share that with Keely, eh? Okay. So how many times in our lives have we heard the voice of God? How many times have we actually acted on that? How has that experience, if we acted on that, changed who we are? Have you ever even had such an experience? See, here we have one man, Paul, who meets Jesus, blindly trusts him, literally. Yeah, pardon the pun. But literally, and he goes on to change Christianity as we know it. By saying yes to God, later he grew so much, the Holy Spirit came upon him. He furthered the church to such an extent, he opened Christianity for all Gentiles. I mean, he wrote 13 of the 27 books in the New Testament. He planted churches, he baptized people. You can read on about Paul. There's so much he did, he accomplished. But all because he said yes. He knew he was dealing with something bigger than him. He knew he was dealing with a power bigger than him. So the second point I want to get to is answering God's call will make you feel uncomfortable. You see, for Paul, it wasn't always that comfortable. It couldn't have been always. It couldn't, for the Acts church, if you read that, those guys went through hectic stuff. Many of us, if not most of us, live our lives in a comfort zone. So I want to do a little illustration here. Very basic. So say this is you, or me, I'll just use me, and there's my comfort zone. So this is my influence sphere, tonight we'll just call it comfort zone, where I move a lot, and people I know, the areas I work, the areas people I visit, and so I've got a pretty decent influence. I'm sure most of us, can you all see, sorry, I'm sure all of us have a, can you see there? Okay, it kind of looks like that, if you just go on, except the me is a cross. So, yeah. Is it better? Sorry, Jen. Generator. Sorry. Okay, so this is us. This is me. This is the area that I move in. So, most of us have a pretty decent influence in our influencers. Would you agree? We, the people that we know, the people that we see, we meet, we have more or less a good influence. Some of us have amazing influence. Some of us don't really have a big influence. But this is kind of where we move. Now and then we'll push this thing a little bit. Now, I just want us quickly to turn to each other. Maybe two together. Just quickly, let's take 2 minutes. And just think of the things that prevent us from moving out of this. And moving out of this, I mean, like, say, this is your comfort zone where you move. But say if God calls you, or God calls you to move out of that and do something for someone else. Let's think about the way that God calls us. What prevents you from going out of your comfort zone? Just think of a few things. Take 2 minutes. Things in your life that you think prevents you. And then we'll discuss it afterwards. Take 2 minutes quickly. Okay, you are still busy? Okay, so what we're going to do is just randomly, we're not a lot of people, so just hit me, give me a few. Fear. So fear is a big thing, that can be a lot of stuff. Fear of man, I heard. Pride. Rejection. It kind of goes with fear of man. That side. Yeah? Nog iets? Anything else? Inconvenience, disobedience. Wow, good ones. Disobedience. Sorry if you can't read. I should have become a doctor. Where's Kim? Oh, this is a doctor. Anything else? Not good enough. Let's take one more. I feel there's one more. Yes. Fear of the unknown. Yo, that's a good one. I only have one chocolate, sorry. Brayden, sharing is caring, huh? Okay. So, we've written a few things down. I've got the very first one that I put here is fear of the unknown. Fear of people, lack of knowledge is one I put. Some people even think maybe finances is an issue. Some people say culture, family. Your family can keep you back. Worldly standards are a few things that we discussed. Now, you see, if you look at a guy like Paul, first of all, he has everything to lose. So Paul, being who he was, being a zealot, he would have been called a hypocrite by everybody who knew him. I'm sure Paul was a very smart guy. He was a very well-educated guy. And he had to do the calculations and see the repercussions of his conversion, how that would have affected his current situation. He would have been severely discomforted by what he had to go through. Yet he still believed, yet he still trusted God. The zealots believing that Christ, the Messiah, could not die a sinner's death, not a criminal's death. Yet now, with his conversion, he immediately knew that to be true. In fact, verse 20 actually tells us right after that, he was preaching the truth. Right after that, he immediately started preaching the truth. So he was now entering that zone of the unknown. So we had got the small little zone there, the big part. Outside of that, Paul was starting to enter that. Nothing was really in his control anymore. He was starting to walk by faith, not by sight anymore. He surrendered everything to God. We know as we read on how far, to what extent he completely, that guy just completely gave his life. He's such an inspiration to me. But I'm sure he was afraid at first. Obviously, I think every new Christian, once converted, you're scared. You still think of those things. Yet he still trusted God. He still knew the God that he serves, the God that called him on that road, is much bigger than anything on earth, much bigger than any of his issues, any of his worries, any of his tribulations that he might face. So he went on. He pressed on. For us, sometimes, it's just too difficult to get up off the church and go pray for someone that we know we've been thinking about a lot. So that's very challenging for me to see how this guy completely gave up everything that he had to follow God. Point number three is answering God's call will lead to suffering of some form. It sounds really hectic. It sounds really maybe a little dark, but it's true. There are times in your life that when you answer the call, if you really are obedient to God's word, you're going to be so uncomfortable, it's later on going to feel like you're suffering. We all have been there at some point. We all know there will be tough times. For some of us, it might be to give up a habit. For some of us, it might be to give more of our time. For some of us, it might be to give up our finances. And some of us, that can really, if you're really obedient and listen to God, you're going to start feeling that suffering. But we read Paul went through a bit more. He was martyred for his faith. We read in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 16 to 30, how he actually boasts about his suffering. Corinthians 11, verse 16. Sorry. So I'm going to read from verse 16. I say again, let no one think me a fool, if otherwise at least receive me as a fool, that I also may boast a little. What I speak not according to the Lord, but as it were foolishly in this confidence of boasting, seeing that many boast according to the flesh, I also will boast. For you put up with fools gladly, since you yourselves are wise. For you put up with it if one brings you into bondage, if one devours you, if one takes from you, if one exalts himself, if one strikes you on the face. To our shame, I say that we were too weak for that. But in whatever anyone is bold, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. So now he goes to say, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, and this is where he really starts going into detail, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night, a day, I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleepless often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides the other things, what comes upon me daily? My deep concern for all churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble, and I do not burn with indignation? This part is what stood out. If I must boast, I will boast in these things which concern my infirmity. I don't know what version I've got there. Yeah, so if I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. So he endured countless floggings, beatings with sticks, shipwrecks, bandits, sleeplessness, fatigue, hunger, all of those things. Yet he still continued. He still pressed in. He still had this fire inside of him. If not anything, I think the type of guy that he was, if he suffered, he was like fueled even more just to go on and carry on, just continue to spread the gospel. being obedient to God. And he said something profound, and we all know this verse, Philippians 4:13. I usually, when I do a half marathon, if I run, I write it on my arm because it inspires me. Who knows Philippians 4:13? Yes. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's one of his most well-known verses. We read this so many times. We see it on teacups. We see it on Bibles. We see it on diaries imprinted. We see it on t-shirts. We send it to people on WhatsApps if they go through difficult times. Do we really understand this verse? Do we really think about it? It's so simple. Do we really just sit down and think about it? Do we apply it? Do we apply it in our lives? Do we just send it as encouragement? Do we water it down? Or do we actually believe it? It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It doesn't say, I can do many things. It doesn't say, I can do amazing things. It says, I can do all things, all, everything. It's nothing I can't do. It's everything. To me, that's so powerful. It doesn't matter how much you're suffering or enduring. You can boast in your suffering because you know that the God you serve, the God that we serve, strengthens us in all of these things because he tells us we can do all things. I want to share a little testimony quickly. There's a radio station in Cape Town. Many of you will know it. It's Tygerberg 104 FM, Radio Tygerberg, Christian radio station. And the one DJ on the station, his name is Anton Brink. And he once shared the story on the radio, and I've shared it so many times. This is absolutely... It broke me when I heard it. I was so challenged by it. So he was shoe shopping. He's got two daughters. And one day he was shoe shopping for them. I think it was a shoe city or I don't know which store it was. But it was a big store. And he had to buy them running shoes, tackies, both of them. And I know he went on to say how expensive these shoes were. But they had to get it, school term and all of that. And who of you have got kids? Older kids. Yes. And you know, kids, clothing... Once brands kick in, they want to have the best. But yeah, so he had to buy two pairs of shoes. And he went in, he obviously had his money, and he got his shoes. And as he was moving towards the till, he was moving towards the counter, there was a lady standing in front of him with her. I think she had a little kid. I can't remember the exact story. But she was standing there with a box of kids' shoes, also running shoes. And Anton heard the Holy Spirit tell him, you must pay for her shoes. Who of you guys would like, is that the Holy Spirit? Yeah, I'll just quickly hear again. Let's just keep quiet a little while. Maybe the Holy Spirit will talk a little bit louder. So as he was standing there, he says it was starting to eat him up. He heard this voice again. You must pay for that lady's shoes. You must pay for those shoes. He was suffering severe discomfort because he was in his mind running up and down. What if, what not? What if he misses it? What if it's not the Holy Spirit? What if... this lady's going to be ungrateful. He was playing everything in his mind. But being saved, born again, sold out for God, he immediately says, I'm just going to trust you, God. I know you've got this. And so at the till, as the lady was putting her shoes down, he says, I'm going to pay for your shoes. And the lady looks at him, and she takes the shoes, he pays, and she walks out. She goes out the store. She doesn't say anything to him. She just leaves him. And he was standing there. He was feeling so discouraged. What just happened? I completely missed it. This lady's so ungrateful. He was like, imagine you have to now pay for your own kid's shoes as well, and you've just paid for these shoes. And so he was like really at a bad place. And he was like, yeah, hukum, why? Why did that happen to me now? Why did I have to endure that now? And did I really miss it? And so he was going out the store, walking to his car. As he got into his car, this lady was with him. She tapped him on the shoulder. She was crying profusely. She was crying like she couldn't really talk. And she composed herself. And she said, and it's Afrikaans, but I'll say it in English. She said, I don't have money. I'm very poor. I don't have a job, but my kid needs shoes. And this morning, the Lord told me to go to this store and trust him in faith. With these shoes, go to the till, he will provide. and I almost put the shoes down, but for some reason, I just had to go to the till. So when he heard that, obviously you can imagine, he also cried. They both cried together. And every time I think about that, there's just so many things you can take out of that story. There's just so many things we can take with us. Number one, we won't always know if we answered the call. We won't always maybe see what the effects were. I mean, that's just how God works. His plans, if he has a plan, it will come to pass. If we read Romans 5, verse 3 to 5, I'm just going to read it there. You can put it up there. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that the suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We've had this verse up here so many times. It's just so powerful. It's so profound. Both, if you think about this testimony for Anton and this lady, and even Paul and Ananias, this was so evident. Going through tribulations strengthened their hope in the end. They both suffered, or they all suffered something in the end. Fear of failure. Am I listening? Am I hearing God correctly? Ananias was, if you think about him, he was afraid of Paul. I mean, he knew who Paul was. He knew who this guy was. This guy was hardcore. Yet God sent him, and he knew God is bigger than anything, so he still went. Our faith in the end will always triumph in trouble. And I want to repeat that. Our faith will always triumph in trouble. The point four that I want to make is God can use anyone. God doesn't just use specific people. God can use anyone. He's God. And if there's one thing we can learn from God, and I'm sure you can all agree, is that he loves to use the underdog. He loves to use the guy where the odds is against. The guy that it doesn't look humanly possible. On paper, if you looked at Paul, he was the last guy that God could use. I mean, the job that he did was completely the opposite of what the disciples did. He tried to get the people who preached. He tried to put them in jail who preached the gospel. I mean, to mere human reasoning, Paul would have been, he would have been the last person. Yet God showed us exactly that he is the right person. Paul knew he had weaknesses, and that's why I say God can use anyone. Paul knew he had weaknesses, and we read about that in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10. He knew he wasn't perfect. I want to read it up there. So to keep me from being conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, I am strong. My testimony, I've shared it a couple of months back in church, is exactly that. I'm not going to share it again, but it's exactly that. That's what God does. He takes your weakness and he turns it into a strength. I said it right this time. Last time I changed it around. I said he turns your strength into weakness. Okay, so he takes your weakness and he turns it into a strength. That's just what he does. David, a shepherd boy, kills a giant, becomes a king. Gideon doubted his circumstances around him, yet God assured him that he's with him to the end. So he and his 300 untrained farmers overcame thousands of skilled armed forces, the Midianites. Moses, who could not speak well, we said he could not speak eloquently. Many people debate about how Moses spoke, if he had a stutter or he was just shy. But in any case, Moses, guy that said he could not speak well, he freed a nation. He freed the Israelites, reminding us that it's not who you are, but it's whose you are. God loves us. He loves to use the underdog. God loves to use the small guy. He loves to use the guy that's available. Doesn't matter who you are. I'm not saying he just uses the small guy, but the fact that God uses us the way that Paul said as well, he turns your weaknesses into strengths. He does that because he gets the glory. He uses the small guy because in the end, God gets the glory. So we as men and women, we can't do anything on our own. But through the power of God, the love of God that he has for us, we can do all things. I put it up there really big. All things. It'll come up later. We can do all things. Are we willing to risk our comfort? Are we willing to risk our benefits? When God calls, are we willing to answer? Are we going to miss out on being part of God's plan for his people? Have you ever thought about it? How many opportunities have you actually missed in your life? We might have an idea of one or two, but I don't think we'll ever know, actually. If we're available to God and just say, God, here I am. As they said, here I am, God, use me. What can we achieve? Where can we move to? Are we going to play it safe in our comfort zones, or are we willing to trust God in every circumstance and boldly do as His Spirit leads us? Knowing He's always with us, we can with confidence endure at our trial and tribulation we face, knowing our hope is in Him. So again, I ask, are we going to settle for this? Think about this and just kind of stay in this area. Play it safe. Now and then this might get a little bigger. Or are we going to be obedient? Are we going to be that guy? Are we going to be like a Paul? Can you all see it? Okay. So, are we going to settle for little? Are we going to settle for the little areas that we work in, the little areas that we move in? Or are we actually going to start listening to God? Are we going to listen to God? Are we going to say, yes, Lord, here I am, Lord. I'm available, Lord. Not even thinking about what we have to go through. Not even thinking about what we're going to endure or suffer. Forgetting if we go pray for that guy, the lies that get sown into our heads, if you're going to pray for him, he's going to laugh at you. If you're going to pray for healing, it's not going to help. If you're going to do this, that's going to happen. Are we going to forget that? Are we going to start believing in faith like Paul did? We're just going to trust him fully, change our lives completely, give it to God, endure for the kingdom, for God's cause? Do we really want to miss this opportunity? So, there's a Christian artist, many of you, hopefully most of you will know him, Chris Tomlin. He wrote a song, and he puts it so beautifully, he puts it so simple. The words are, where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Where you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. Who you serve, how you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. Will we follow God? Are we ready to do that? Leaving our comfort zones, which we've created for ourselves, these perfect little worlds. And I'm not saying everybody's like this. A lot of people constantly move out of their comfort zones. But I think most of us move in our comfort zones. We like to play it safe and now and again, kind of just put a foot out. Are we ready to trust God, to listen to His voice? So as Ignu comes up, I want us just all to close our eyes quickly. I want to pray for two groups of people tonight. Let's keep our eyes closed. I first of all just want everyone here tonight just to think of where you are at in your life when it comes to answering God's call. Are you that guy, that guy or that woman that answer the call when it's like really easy? Or when God says, listen, do this, you jump? So first of all, I want to pray for a group of people that struggle to hear the call. If you're one of those people that really would love to respond to God, you'd really love to act, you'd love to start doing God's will, but you struggle to hear the call, you can't hear the Holy Spirit. If that's you tonight, I want you just in faith, just to raise your hands quickly. Thank you. There's quite a few hands. Awesome. You can put it down again. Thank you. Give some time more. If you struggle to hear His voice, if you struggle to hear the call, if you struggle to hear His command, and you want to hear that, you really want to hear His voice, that you just quickly lift your hand. Awesome. Thank you. Father, I just pray for those hands that went up. Lord, thank you so much that you love us, that you love them, Father, and that you want, as you say in your word, if we draw near to you, you will draw near to them, Father. You will draw near to us, Father. So I pray tonight that they just start having these drawing near revelations, Father, with you, that they start entering your presence with confidence and boldness, Lord. I pray for them to hear your voice. I pray for the Holy Spirit just to fall afresh on them anew tonight, Father. I pray that they get tuned into your station, Lord. I pray that their hearts start beating for you, Father. I pray that their ears and their eyes go open for you, Lord. I pray that they see the need, that they see where you need them. Father, I pray that you encourage them just to press on, press in, press more. And I feel for all of you that raise your hand now, God just really wants you guys to press in when you worship. When you worship Him, just press in completely. Surrender completely. Don't hold back. Don't think of what people are thinking of what you're going to do, how you're worshiping Him. Or there's just so many things that get sown into your head. Just forget about that. Just trust God. Just press into Him. So, Father, I pray that. Father, I pray that they start hearing your voice. I pray that they hear the call. And we thank you for the fire that's in the hearts, Lord. I thank you for the fire that you've stirred in the hearts, Father. And when you call them, they're going to go. Just show them, Lord, that they trust you completely. The second prayer that I want to pray is, if there's any of you here who feel that you hear the call, but you need the boldness to act on it, that you're scared. You're scared to move out of that little circle, that little bubble. If that's you, you feel you hear the Lord's voice, but you can't mobilize, you can't move, you're like stuck or you're frozen. Just quickly raise your hands and put it down again. Awesome. Yes, Lord, I just thank you for these hands, Lord. Father, I thank you that you've given all of us that command, Lord, to go out into the world, to reach the nations and baptizing them in your name and teach them your commandments, Lord. Father, I pray that they start writing those scriptures on their hearts. Father, I pray that they start praying that over their lives every day. Father, I pray that they start walking in that truth, not believing the lies that hold them back. Fear of man, fear of failure, lack of wisdom, what people might think, time, finances, fear of the unknown. We come against all of those now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that you break every single barrier that holds them in that keeps them in that bubble. Father, I pray now that you shatter that comfort zone, that you break it, Lord, that the world becomes our comfort zone. Your world becomes our comfort zone. Father, I pray that I pray for everyone here tonight, Father, just a renewed spirit of boldness and courage in their lives, Father, to pursue you, to pursue your word, to answer when you call. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Father, I pray that we meditate on these scriptures. I pray that we just pray them over ourselves, Lord, and know who we are in Christ. We pray against attacks on our identities. We pray against attacks on our beliefs. We come against anything that the enemy sows, Father. We stand afresh and anew tonight, boldly proclaiming that we will trust you. We will walk around these walls till they fall. We will go with the little that we have and fight the many, and we will overcome. You multiply, Lord. We know this. We declare that you reign in our lives, Father. And yes, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you just stir the boldness in everybody. I just pray that you stir it up, stir it afresh and anew in this place. Let me trust you. So we're going to end off with a song. And I want you guys all just to stand and just sing it with confidence. Sing it with boldness. Sing it to the God that we serve. We're just gonna sing, God, you're so good. All right. So as you sing this, put all those things that we wrote up there. And those that you didn't write up, just put it in front of God now and trust Him. And just see this comfort zone, this small little area around you that you think you have an influence in. Just see that thing just increase. Just see the lines go further and further that you can't see them anymore. And know that God is with you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Let's just sing that. In God, you're so good. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me. Come on, we sing. Yes, in God, you're so
for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.